What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 397, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us out and keeps the podcast ongoing, with, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Just trying to stay warm in this chilly basement. Like we were talking earlier, it's 66 degrees down here. It's because it's been nice outside, so the heat hasn't been running. So like the basement stayed cold, right?
Yeah.
Still got that winter weather in the basement here.
I just chugged a warm coffee.
Oof.
So
this I'm late in the day.
I was so tired. So I didn't tell you this before we got on, but I didn't sleep at all last night. I was waking up every hour. And then obviously I woke up this morning and I'm like, well, I can't try to go back to sleep now. I have a bunch of things to do. So I've been just struggling all day.
I gotcha.
And I said, if I don't have this coffee now, I'm not going to make it through the podcast. I'm going to fall asleep. So yeah. So I just chugged a coffee, but it was a warm coffee. So now my body is warm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I just feel I'm sweating, even though I'm not, but I'm super warm. So we're opposites right now.
But
another week back here, lots of cool stuff going on, lots of cool products. We got a product that I couldn't show you last week that's sitting here. Is that pretty
that's pretty cool.
Pretty excited about that product. Lots of stuff going on, guys. Of course, if you do want to follow along with anything that we're going to be talking about this week, we do have our full show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. And we're going to start it off with the keyboard that I just showed you. That is the Corsair K65 Plus Wireless. And you have Corsair keyboard. You use a Corsair keyboard currently.
Yeah.
And I've used Corsair keyboards in the past. I reviewed Corsair keyboards. I have to say that this might be the best keyboard that Corsair has ever made.
Wow. They had the K100 Platinum. Wasn't that their flagship a while ago?
Yeah, but if you...
But it's a full size and...
Not even that. It's just for its time, that was a great keyboard.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it had the aluminum top plate, but now it's that's not enough.
Yeah, now that's not enough, right? And we have this thing where the Razers, the Corsairs, the Logitechs, they all kind of had to catch up to not only the custom keyboard market, but also the sort of semi-custom pre-builds. We've reviewed so many keyboards over the past couple of years that are amazing. They sound amazing. They feel amazing. They have premium materials. And they're from a company you might have never heard of. Just last week, we talked about the Arbiter Studio keyboard, which I think feels amazing. Brand new company. You know what I mean? So it's the companies who we mainly know for gaming keyboards, that's their thing, that's what they're known for. If you would compare, if you compare that K100 whatever, or any of the older Corsair keyboards that are a couple years old, they just feel dated at this point. You know what I mean? It's just any type of tech that's a few years old, if you try to compare it, it's just old. So saying that, I do feel this is probably the best keyboard that Corsair has ever made for a bunch of different reasons. So the keyboard, of course, is the K65 Plus Wireless. Corsair already has a K65 and then a K65 Pro. The K65, which we actually reviewed 3 years ago, the K65 RGB Mini was a 60% keyboard. Then the K65 Pro Mini is 65%. Now we have a K65 Plus Wireless, which is a 75% keyboard. So 75% is great. I think it might actually be my favorite form factor. Just because I think for a lot of people, 65 is still not enough. Some people do want, they want the function row and all of that. So I do think that having a 75% is... It's just the perfect size, I think. It doesn't take, it's not big on your desk either, which I think is great. Of course, we've seen the popularity of 75 over the past, past couple of years. I think every company that's done a new keyboard drop, it mostly has been 75%. It's just it is the form factor of now. So for those who aren't necessarily familiar with 75%, it's essentially a 10 keyless, but you lose a couple keys on the side here, but you still get your number pad and all of that. It's just a little bit smaller version of a 10 keyless. Like I said, you do lose a handful of keys, but it's not a lot. And I don't think you're losing anything. And I think too, for gamers, especially like MMO gamers who do use macros and big macro users, 60% is too small because you do lose like your function keys at the top. At least like when I played WoW, like my macros were all like my function.
Yeah. I mean, I was playing last night. I use F1 all the time.
Yeah. So it's like, this gives you kind of everything that you want, not only just for MMO games, but like, you know, a normal FPS gamer is going to enjoy this form factor too. And you get a lot of other stuff. So as you can like see from this keyboard, we have a black sort of chassis. Then we have like this grayish keys for most of the keys. And then the outer keys are like a different shade of black. It looks good overall. Obviously, we've seen like a bunch of crazy colors, and we've seen, of course, the white keyboards get very popular, but this is the only colorway that they are offering currently. And I think it looks good. And that's another thing that I think all of these major keyboard companies, again, the gaming keyboard companies, they need to move away from like the black on black, you know, black chassis with black keycaps. Like, it's just boring at this point. So it's good to see Corsair sort of steer away from that slightly. I mean, not completely. But we don't have see-through legends either. So in the keycaps are single-shot PBT, not double-shot. So single-shot PBT. So they're not as heavy. And when it comes to gaming, like, it feels very fluid and nice. You know, they just feel, like I said, they feel lighter. So it's like, it just feels more agile overall, like when you're actually gaming, which I really, really like. In the corner, of course, you have a multi-function dial. By default, it's set to volume. So volume up, volume down, and then you can press it in. It does have other functions within the IQ software, but they're set functions. You can't necessarily program this, which is a bit disappointing. So you can't program the multi-function dial. Here's a look at those single shot keycaps. Like I said, they do feel really good overall. And then you get like the special Corsair keycap for your escape key there. Under the hood, we have Corsair MLX red linear switches. These are like a normal red that you would kind of suspect. So they are, like I said, they're linear, 4 millimeters of total travel on this. They do come factory lubed, and they feel really good for a gaming keyboard. This is, of course, what you would want. Very good feedback on these, and they're hot swappable, so you can swap them out if you don't want to. Again, these are all things that, again, like the custom keyboards have that are coming into, you know, the Corsairs and the Logitechs and the Razers now. So hot swappable switches, which is really nice. Now, this keyboard, of course, is called the K65 Plus Wireless because it is wireless. It does come with their 2.4 gigahertz dongle. You can use it Bluetooth as well, and you can use it wired. So you have the ability to use it with a multitude of different devices. And all of this connectivity means that you can use this with your PC. It works on Mac. It works on a PlayStation. It works on Xbox. It works on your mobile device. It will work on anything. Nice. Like pretty much any gaming device, this keyboard's going to work on, which is awesome. And another thing that they did add as well is that they did add sound dampening material into the keyboard itself. So again, that's something that we never saw on keyboards before, as far as like gaming keyboards. Now we're getting in here, so you're going to have a much better feel overall. That's why, again, I feel like Corsair has done all of the right things. As far as your angle adjustment, you have two different levels of angle, or three total of angle adjustment that you can kind of see here, with the pop-out feet on the bottom. And that's pretty much the...
interesting bottom.
Yeah, it's kind of like a glossy kind of finish. And this is... They're adding this sort of glossy finish on the bottom of a lot of their new gaming products, some of which you'll be seeing over the next couple of weeks as we cover them as they come out. Cool. So you'll see some some of that kind of followed through on a lot of their devices. We do have a sound test if you want to hear what this keyboard sounds like. I think it has a good sound. It feels really good to me. And like I said, for me, the how this feels in gaming is the really the thing that really stands out to me. Like I said, the keys feel really responsive and agile, and that's what you want when you're gaming. I use this both wired and wirelessly. Of course, it's going to work with their IQ software. Very easy to set up. Here you can see lighting. So we have per key RGB backlighting, of course. And I do think it looks good that, you know, we don't have the shine through legends, but even like this is in normal lighting circumstances. Right. It looks good even in the light, you know, and then if you turn the lights off, it looks great as well. So really good looking keyboard overall. I was just a little bit disappointed that this multifunction dial, like you can only set, a handful of, you can only set it to do a handful of different things within the software. You can't like make your own control dial settings, which is a bit disappointing. Maybe they can change that in the future, but overall, like I said, I did like the keyboard a lot. It felt really good. And like I said, for me, probably the best Corsair keyboard made to date as far as like functionality, how it feels, quality of material, everything like that. I think it's just a great overall keyboard. I gave it a 9 out of 10 and a recommended award. And it's only $159.99, which a lot of people... It's
pretty good for wireless.
Yeah, we posted about this keyboard like on social and people were like, oh... If it's under 100, if it's under 200, I'll get it. And it's like, well, it's 159. So it's, I think it's a good deal overall. And the only other thing that I didn't like is that, so if you're in wired mode, you connect it with the included USB cable. You have a ton of different lighting options. You can set lighting layers. You can do all that stuff. But when you go into wireless mode, those lighting settings are not saved. You only get like a set of like 7 effects and you can't customize those effects as well. So you'll get like the rainbow wave or, you know, just for example, you get like a standard rainbow wave. But if you're connected via wired, you can change the direction of that wave. You can slow down the effect, speed up the effect. But if you're in wireless mode, the effect will only run. You can just select the effect. You can't change any of the settings. And there are some effects that aren't available in wireless mode. So that was the only thing that I would say was the downfall.
It's like they didn't put much onboard storage.
Yeah, it was just a little weird. But overall, like I said, I think if you're looking for a really, really great keyboard for gaming, this is definitely solid. It looks great on the desk. It feels good. I'm waiting for a white version to come out. That's what everybody was saying in the comments too. Yeah. They're like, where's the white version? Where's the white version? Because you know, Asus has white versions of their some of their higher end keyboards, and we've seen
like a bunch Cooler of the Master, yep.
And Corsair, even on their K65 Pro, I think that one has white versions as well. So maybe we'll see a white version come out down the line. But very impressed. Yeah, I was really impressed because, I mean, to be honest, the Razers, the Logitechs, you know, even the Corsair, over the past couple of years, not all that impressive when it comes to keyboards, just for the fact that custom keyboards have gotten so much better that I was just like, and when I got this in, I was kind of thinking the same thing. But then as I got to use it and really feel it and just, you know, just a lot better overall. So check that review out. Old man in the chat says Corsair K65 Plus wireless is pretty much what I'm looking for in a wireless keyboard. I've never paid that much though for a wireless keyboard. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely. I mean, you like again, like you can get a lot of 75% keyboards that are technically wireless for around the $100 range. Some of them are Bluetooth only. Some of them don't offer as much, you know, functionality. It all comes down to like actually using it. And we always say with a lot of products, like if you can get it either like on Amazon where you get the 30-day return or you can go into a Best Buy, into a Micro Center and like use the keyboard, see which one feels best for you. But I think $159 is a fine price for me, like for everything that you do get. So yeah. So moving on from there, Ryan took a look at a new AIO from Iceberg Thermal, and he's going to go ahead and tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so 2 weeks in a row, two 360 millimeter AIOs in a row, and they are, I want to say similar, but not similar, and we'll get to why that is pretty soon here. But yeah, so Iceberg Thermal, we've taken a look at in the past at some of their just standard heat sinks and maybe some fans from them, possibly. So they sent over their Iceflow Oasis 360, and they offer this in both a 240 and a 360 model, and it's your pretty straightforward, what I would call, again, entry level, budget minded, all in one liquid cooler for your CPU. Gonna fit, you know, your standard AMD and Intel sockets, so your compatibility range for anything current is going to be there, other than like your real high end like Threadripper or something, right? This isn't for that.
Throw it on the Threadripper, see what happens.
I mean, I wouldn't, but yeah.
Well, it won't fit. It won't fit anyways.
Yeah, yeah. Number one, it's not. There's no hardware made up to it. But anyhow, all the hardware you do need for compatible sockets is included with this cooler, along with a installation manual and just some promo material for their social media. But a quick overview here. Again, it goes back to the standard like 27 millimeter thick radiator. Last week's radiator was kind of an outlier at 35 millimeters, but Iceberg went with a kind of the standard 27 millimeter thick radiator. And as you can see in this image here, it's just kind of like your average looking all-in-one liquid cooler. There's not a LCD screen on this one, although we do have like a little kind of like black mirror glass look here, which is an ARGB light up zone. And when it's lit up, it shows Iceberg Thermal. We'll get to that in a minute. But it's just your standard black all-in-one liquid cooler. Nothing like crazy different about this one. Just your standard 360 millimeter here. A little less density in the fins compared to some others. This one was 20 fins per inch. What I typically see is about 22. So just a little more, or a little less fin density here, which means your fans don't have to have as much pressure. Like they don't have to be able to push through that fin density in order to get airflow across those fins. But again, just your standard braided tubings coming out the end, and really like a basic looking water pump and block combo unit here. But it does have some cool like angular look to it, almost like an iceberg. Like an iceberg. It's design language that's we're seeing across all of their products, right? Yeah. Like their fans and their heat sinks have that like green, like almost a mint green color.
I was actually surprised that
it wasn't that color.
It wasn't the green, because like that's kind of what, when they first came out, like that was what they were known for, was like that kind of crazy green color.
Exactly. Yeah, like, that, it would be cool if they made it, or just like some highlights, you know, here. And yeah, would have been really cool. But yeah, here's a top down look at that ARGB window here. Again, just behind there, it says Iceberg Thermal when it's all lit up. But you just have the really angular design, and that top plate does rotate. It doesn't come off, but it does rotate in 90 degree increments. That way, depending on the orientation you use in your installation, you can make sure that it says Iceberg Thermal.
Nice though, because like I remember back in the day, you know, you
like put it sideways,
it'd be sideways, it didn't, your system just looks so dumb and you're like
So old man asked if this is a fill port on the radio. It is sealed from the factory, and your warranty is like not covered, right? It voids it. But yes, you can take off that sticker. There's a little rubber cap typically, and then you take that rubber cap off and there's a threaded port there usually, so you can add liquid if you ever need to the loop. But yeah, that's what that's there for. And we see that on units every now and then, not all of them, but quite a few have been having that lately. Nothing special on the fittings. They're just your standard rotating fittings. And like I mentioned earlier, this does offer ARGB lighting in the pump housing. And again, this second week in a row, this is another pump that is not PWM controlled. It is just a straight 3-pin pump on this one as well. So if you want to make any adjustments to that speed, you're not going to be able to take advantage of the nuanced control that you get with PWM. You're going to have to make those changes via voltages. So Just something to keep in mind if you're looking at this cooler. And your pretty standard copper base on the bottom there with a kind of a satin finish. There's no pre-applied thermal paste here. I go back and forth on whether I like it or not. I think it's a nice feature. It's nice for people that are brand new and they don't have to worry about how much thermal paste to put on and things like that. But I, in those cases, I also like the company to send some extra. So if you ever take it off and move it to something else, you've got some thermal paste. But I don't like ding the company, you know, like for not having pre-applied paste. And it's actually kind of something you have to like be careful of when you're doing the installer before, especially when we're taking pictures, because I'll take the little plastic cover off and you're like, all right, don't hit this or touch it, because I don't want to screw up the installation.
That's the biggest thing I think when us as reviewers, like when things do have like pre-applied thermal paste, you're like, I gotta take a picture of this. And especially if you are doing CPU cooler reviews, like for AIOs, they're kind of all the same, but when it comes to actual CPU coolers, like you want to see what the actual block looks like. Like, how's the finish on the block? And with the pre-applied paste, you really can't see the quality of like the machine work. So it's, I go back and forth as well. I think for like, again, you could consider this more of an entry level part, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
So like, I'm okay with it, but on higher end stuff, I don't want it, you know. That's my kind of stance on the pre-applied thermal paste. Sure. But
Also included are three 120 millimeter fans, and just like last week's review, they're kind of like flimsy. I was able to just kind of like flex the frame of the fan in just a little. Like, I didn't have to squeeze very hard and the frame would touch the fan blades, right? Like, just it's a price cutting like option for these companies with the fans. So that being said, they are ARGB. They have your standard 3-pin ARGB connectors on them, but they are PWM fans in this instance.
They
which is nice.
Is the ARGB daisy chain?
It is like your standard daisy chain.
Yeah, standard daisy
chain. On fans. They're not like magnetically connected or anything like that. But they do have your standard, like, yes.
I was gonna say, I at least like to see, I actually have a case here that I've been working on that the company had sent me fans, are ARGB fans, but they're not daisy chainable. And I don't know where they think I'm getting six ARGB headers.
Dang.
So it's
fun. Gotta have your own controller.
Yeah. So it's, yes. But they, so you always want to make sure that they are daisy chainable. Yep. Not only ARGB, but you do like to see it for
power as well,
for the power as well, because you essentially want to, again, lower models like this, you essentially just want one ARGB connection and one power connection, because again, you're limited on those connections, both of them on the motherboard that you're going to be using anyways.
Exactly. Yeah. So not only are the ARGB daisy chainable, so this kit included a 3-to-1 PWM adapter, right? So they're not daisy chained, but they are connected together via that adapter. So I was able to mount those fans up. And as you can see, like, you know, there's still some cable mess up at the top with this. But again, this type of daisy chaining is better than none. You'll still have some cable mess, but that's all right. The adapters for AMD or Intel are really easy to swap out. It's just a little metal bracket here that slides on or off around the frame of the pump housing, so you can use AMD or Intel hardware. Iceberg went ahead and used the standard AMD plastic brackets that come on the motherboard, so you have to use these little clips as opposed to screwing it into the screw holes on the back plate of your motherboard. But super easy install. It's a very common method for AMD systems. And performance wise, it was, again, very similar to the unit we looked at last week, right? Idled at 30 degrees, which is towards the top third of our charts. And then under load was towards the top end of our charts at 43 degrees. So, and I wasn't really surprised by that, because both of the units I looked at in the 2 weeks, like, they almost seemed like you could swap them back and forth, and like, it was almost like looking at the same unit, but from different companies.
It's probably the same OEM, I assume.
I mean, there were differences. Like last week's, you know, we had that like old Ace Attack mounting mechanism, yeah. But this one had this method. So it was just like very, very close similarities. And so, and we had very similar performance as well, which is kind of interesting. But it does look good. I really like how it looked. And here's a shot of that pump housing lit up, right?
You see that? I do think thermal. it looks really good. And I think, sad to say, but I think a lot of people, they just like care about the looks. Like they're not mm-hmm. overclocking when they're gaming. I mean, even when you're gaming, you're not necessarily like crushing your CPU either.
Right. Depending on the title. But yeah.
Yeah, depending on the title. So it's just like, you know, like I just want something that's going to handle temperatures. It's going to look cool. I'm going to get I'm going to get that RGB lighting in my system, you know, and that's kind of what a lot of people want.
Right. In the end, I ended up giving this again a 7 out of 10. It is pretty affordable though, $99 for the 360 millimeter. I believe it's $79.99 for the 240 millimeter version, which I think is very affordable, including the ARGB lighting that you have. You do have to have a controller or a compatible motherboard, but I mean that's kind of standard at this price level. And the only cons that I really gave it was the performance and the low quality fans. I mean, they look good and they're moving the air through the radiator, but they're just kind of like, kind of low end.
Yeah.
It's like an entry level component, right? That's kind of what we expect from, at least what I expected going into this review from this product.
Yeah. And again, I think we're at that point now where we can kind of like, you know, when AIOs first came out, like they were all kind of like everyone was kind of the same. And now we have different levels with different specific features, and this is like the sort of entry level cooler. You're not getting it like, you know, back then we had just like normal coolers. They were all kind of like this one, and then we got software, right? So we could fine tune stuff, and then we're getting more things. So, you know, you have your entry level, which is this. You have the ones that are kind of like this, but then they give you software and you can kind of fine tune things.
Yep.
And a lot of the ones that do have software, the pump is PWM as well, and you can configure it kind of in the software. Then we have the ones that, of course, have screens. And typically the ones with have screens have the really nice, daisy chainable or clip together fans. Yeah, those kind of come hand in hand. So we have like at least three levels, if not four different levels of AIOs now. But it's nice to see something like this that is relatively affordable too, because a lot of people, you know, if you're thinking about an AIO, no, like, you know, with like the high-end Asus ones or some of the NZXT, like some people don't want to spend $200+.
Oh yeah, absolutely,
on a cooler. So this is affordable. It gives you the performance that a lot of people just want, you know what I mean? So
it does. Old man was talking about like the service and being able to open up that port and fill it up, and you know, it doesn't really matter after the warranty expires, right, if you void your warranty to refill it or something. But this does have a 7-year warranty, which is pretty nice, right? Like that's a nice feature to have on there as well. So
nice.
Yeah,
very cool. Well, our last review of the week is another CPU cooler, but this is an air cooler. So if you are looking for an air cooler, this could definitely be for you. This is the Be Quiet Dark Rock Pro 5, and I actually haven't taken a look at a Dark Rock Pro, I think, since the 3. I think I skipped the 4. So we're on the 5, which is their latest high-end air cooler. This is going to compete with the high-end Cooler Masters, the Noctuas, the Deep Cools. It's up there. All black design. It looks great. I mean, it's a great-looking cooler. It has, on the front here, this fan is their new Silent Wings 4 fans. We saw these at CES. This is, like, their best fan that they've ever made, and I gotta say, it's quiet. It's very quiet, but it pushes a lot of air. It's really, really nice. And people don't think about fans, and Be Quiet is one of those companies that like has really shown me that like they can really, like, you can fine tune a fan to do everything that you want, and it's not just like another piece of tech. They do a really great job. So you have one fan on the front, the second fan is in the center here, and they've actually made a really cool top cap here that is just magnetized, and then you take the top off and you can kind of pull that fan out, so the fan kind of pulls out from the center, which is really, really nice. So you can see that second fan in the center there. And one thing that's cool is that there's a hardware switch that allows you to put this cooler in quiet mode or performance mode. I necessarily wouldn't suggest that. If you wanted a quiet mode, you can set it in your motherboard software or even in your motherboard BIOS. I would rather do that so you have more fine-tuned control. But they do have a hardware switch there. But I really like this center fan because you do need to remove the center fan to get it installed. So it's just nice that it kind of just pulls out. It's not like the front fan is much easier to get on with fan clips, but that center fan is always a pain when it comes to the fan clips, especially if you are installing this with your motherboard mounted in the case. So this just makes it so much easier. We can take a look. We have, I think, seven heat pipes. Of course, they go up into each heatsink tower. And then you can take a look at the base of the cooler here. Looks great. Installation on this is very easy. You install a backplate. Then you put on like your Intel mounting bars. Very easy. Go ahead, put those on. And then you take the center fan out. And then there's two little screws on each side. You screw those in, put the fan back on, and you're good to go. This will, like most of these high-end coolers that I've been taking a look at lately, this will completely cover your memory, but it's not one of those ones where you have to like move the fan up or anything. Like this is how it shipped. I didn't move the fan at all. So it will cover your memory, but it's not going to, you're not going to have to move the fan up or anything like that. You connect the two fans together, plug it into your motherboard, and you are good to go. And you can see it is rather big, but it's not as big as some of the other ones. But it is, I mean, it takes up a lot of space.
Quite large, yeah.
Yeah, it's big. But moving on to performance. Here's a better picture so you can see like kind of how big it is. But yeah, it is big. Looking at performance, for some reason, during idle, it was one of the worst performing. I don't know if it's just because the fans weren't moving all that much. But during load, it was one of the best. I mean, it's competing up here within 1 degree of the best coolers, which are like the new Corsair A115 and then the Cooler Master MA824 Stealth, MA624 Stealth, you know, right there. And then all the other coolers that are like in line with it when it comes to low temperature, like the Deep Cool Assassin 4, the Scythe Fuma 3. I mean, you know, you can see again, third place on our second load test here. Just great performance overall. But even if we go to noise level, again, the idle noise level was kind of just like kind of with everybody else for the most part. But then during load, it is crushing it. So again, those Silent Wings 4 fans are very, very quiet during operation. I mean, again, like it got beat out by Be Quiet, like their own Shadowrock Slim 2, which is like a very small cooler, you know. So very, very good performance as far as load temperatures and load noise level. So awesome overall performance for the cooler. Very easy to install as well. And it was, like I said, it's $84.90, which is about like $15 cheaper than most coolers. Most of the coolers in this kind of range are $100. They're $99.99. That's kind of where you're going to find all these coolers. The Corsairs, $99.99. The Cooler Master is $99.99. I'm not sure what like a Noctua D15 is currently, but it's typically like $99.99 for the most part. So it's about $15 cheaper. I gave it a 9 out of 10. Like I said, idle performance, just a little weird that it was just higher than other ones, but it's not like something crazy either. It's not like you're overheating or anything. It was just higher than some of the other coolers. And then it's just going to completely cover your memory. So if you are somebody that is buying RGB memory, just keep in mind that it is going to cover it. But yeah, I really like this cooler.
Looking at the fin density on it, like did it seem like the fins were like spaced further apart from each other?
They do have...
I wonder if that's what's affecting the idle temp, like, or the idle temp. So like there's not as many fins in there for that lower performance. You know, maybe it was like tweaked for load performance as opposed to idle.
And in all honesty, that's kind of what you want.
Sure. Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And here's a better look at the fins, at like the back of the fins. They are spaced out a little bit. So maybe again, as Ryan said, like they're kind of tuned for performance where you want to push that air out. But in any case, like I said, I like this cooler. I would recommend this to anybody who's looking for a high-end air cooler. And again, the installation is very easy. And I would have to say that you can install this with your motherboard mounted in your case, just because that center fan is super easy to take out. And for the fact that when you're putting the screw down in, like you don't, it's very easy. Like you don't need, like even if you're in a very confined case, it wouldn't be an issue. So
cool.
So yeah, check the review out. I will move on. We're running a contest. If you didn't know, we're giving away. Do I have one? No, it's not here. I thought I had it, but it's not here. We are giving away a Patriot Supersonic Rage Prime. We reviewed that recently. That is their 1 terabyte USB 3.2 Gen 2 flash drive. Very easy to enter. Of course, we just have our widget here on the site. If you want to get entered, you just go to the website, go to contests, and it'll be the first one that's there. Yeah, and we're only running this for 2 weeks. So we have 8 days left on it. So get your entry in. Like I said, we're going to have a bunch of giveaways going on the site, and this is just one of them, but it's 1 terabyte. And it's super fast as well. So yeah, get your entry in on that. And we'll move to Case Mod Friday. And I saw this build and I was like, Ryan's been talking about a small form factor build. So he might be into this build.
I saw this thing when you posted it and I was like, oh, this one is awesome. I love this
build. Ryan's been talking about doing a small form factor build. So this is from Declassified Systems. We featured a bunch of his builds before. This one's called Mini ITX with water cooling, in a case that shows it off as well. And it's not crazy small, but it's not big.
Right.
Yep. And it has what's one of my favorite things, Ryan?
Frosted tubing.
It has the frosted tubing, which I love. So, yeah, this is called Mini. I forget who makes this. I think this is a Johnsbow case. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Johnsbow case. And he looks like he has thermal take fans in there. That's what
it looks like. Yeah. This thing looks amazing. I love the loop design.
Is this what you're talking about when you're like, I want a small form factor system? Or are you thinking about something completely different?
Nah, something smaller. But I like the. I mean, I love this build. Like, this is probably one of my favorites. In the last year or two. I mean, it's still a small build. Don't get me wrong, but it's bigger than what I'm planning for my next build.
Okay.
But yeah, everything looks good. The white fittings look awesome. All the white components that go with it. I like the color of the fluid that he chose there. I think the tubing makes it look a little bluer than it is compared to like the water block and the reservoir. It's more green, right? And for some reason, we got a bottle of Sprite here.
I'll just give you an idea of the size.
Is it a 1 liter or 2 liter there?
That's a 1.5 liter.
Oh, 1.5. Okay. This... it just looks great.
I just think like for it, it's such a like, this is the LAN party rig, right?
Oh yeah,
like this is it. This is all you need. It's awesome. And it, like I said, I do like, so when it comes to smaller form factor builds, they are like, when you get into water cooling, they're really hard to look nice like this. And this looks so nice.
Like it's simple, but it's actually like really well planned out and just ends up looking great.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm definitely a fan.
Like dual 240s.
Yeah.
On there. Yeah.
Be interesting to see what the backside looks like. He doesn't have any pictures of like the back, because like that's where the power supply is.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Old man in the chat says he's never seen that case before. He's seen similar cases, but they're usually much larger. Yeah, this is from Johnsbow, I believe. And I really like it because it has that kind of curved glass right here, which I think is cool. So this piece of glass is a single piece that goes all the way around, which makes it harder to take on and off, but it allows this, you know, there's no corner here, so you really get to see everything. I'm a fan of it. So shout out to Declassified Systems for this one. Really, really awesome build there. And we'll move to news this week. Not a whole lot going on. A lot of the stuff we covered on the site, like they were products that came out that we saw at CES, so I didn't really want to talk about them again. They just finally came out. But the AMD Radeon 7900 GRE could be coming to the US. This made a big splash. It initially came out as a limited edition GPU in China. Then it started showing up in the European market, and it now everybody's saying that's going to come to the US. So it kind of sits between the RX 7900 XT and the RX 7800 XT. So it sits in between there. And again, for people, that's just like another price point, but a lot of people really like this card. So it's kind of interesting. I don't know if AMD like put this out initially in the Chinese market as like a test to see if people would want it. And then like people did, and they're like, okay, well, we're going to put this out to the rest. Like, that's actually a good idea.
Yeah. Well, and like, just think of like the logistics that they don't have to worry about initially. Like, if you launch it in that market, it doesn't have to, you don't have to ship it to the US initially, yeah, right? Test it out, you know, regionally, and then ship it if it makes sense.
This will be interesting to see if like they continue to do that with other products, because yeah, it is kind of, it's a good, and it allows the AMD to like save money essentially, because you're not making and you're not doing all of these launches. You know, you'll do like, if they do launch in the United States, like they'll do it as needed. Whereas this, like, you launch it initially. Okay, are people buying it? Let's look at the sales. Let's, you know, okay, then we'll move it to European. You know, then we, you know, spend some money there for the European launch. Then we move it, you know, if they do move it to the US, we'll spend, like, I kind of like that idea. Although, as like an enthusiast and somebody who, like, if I'm interested in this GPU, if it's you only, yeah, like, that's the only thing. But yeah, cool to see. We'll see, like I said, if this does come to the US, but yeah, it looks like it might. So another GPU for you to consider there, Ryan.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So also last week we talked about the Intel Core i9-14900KS. This of course is the special edition highly binned GPU. It's gonna boost to 6.2 gigahertz. On up to two cores. It looks like we said we don't know when it's going to come out. The 13900KS came out in January. The 12900KS, which is the one before that, I believe that came out in April. Looks like this one will come out in mid-March. So it's coming up.
I mean, it's such a niche product, right?
Like, it is very
niche. There's so few of them. You gotta cool this thing like crazy.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I like it. I just like, do you remember when like the extreme part was like widely available? You didn't need a refrigerator to cool it, but it was like the best part. You remember that? You know?
Yeah.
Or like, do you remember like when the high-end desktop parts were like really for enthusiasts, you know? And yeah, like that's where you kind of like that you got excited because it was like, oh, I could get the four core, you know, normal part. But then, it, you know, before, I mean,
that's what you were running before your latest system, right? You had Intel high end desktop.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was like, it just, this part doesn't make sense for like 98% of people.
Yeah.
And that's what like, I just wish we would go. Not that we're going back, because again, like the normal Core i9 is a great part for everybody.
Sure.
Right? But having a special edition part, like, I don't know. I just wish it was just more, it made more sense for more people if you had the money or wanted to spend the money, I guess, if that makes sense.
Sure. Without going to all that extra effort to cool it and yeah.
Yeah. In the chat, we got my buddy Corey's here. What's up? Hopefully, I saw it was snowing there the other day and back in PA. So
it was raining in San Diego yesterday when you said
it rained today. It rained today here. It hasn't been great. I kept on telling Ryan, I was like, I want a refund, man. I'm like, pay so much to live here. It's the weather hasn't been great.
Weather refund.
Yeah, exactly.
Mark Live in the chat too.
Mark Live's here as well. So Thermaltake put out a new case, and I really like this case because it's incredibly simple. It reminds me, we reviewed the Series 300 from Thermaltake. This looks like very much the same case. This is their special edition color for the 25th anniversary, but it's going to come in black and white. And it looks like, oh, this is a cool color. this green as well. But is this is their View 270 TG. Again, that it's a very popular look, but I just think that Thermaltake will have this out at a decent price. It's going to be easy to build in. And I don't know if this comes with fans, but like the series 300 that we reviewed came with all your fans. You didn't have to do anything. It's like a very beginner case. And I think this is going to be it as well.
Blue color did look good when we saw it. At CES, they had a couple products with that color and it looked really nice.
Yeah. Let's see. Does it say price? Nowhere on price, but it is going to be affordable and it's going to be available in a bunch of different color options too. So I like it for what it is. Just an easy to build in case that your system's going to look good in. And I definitely am a fan of that. Talking about more cases. So Height, of course, they released their Y60. Incredibly popular case. We reviewed it. Then they came out with their Y70 Touch, which was a Y60, a little bit bigger, but it had the LCD in the corner.
Right, which was awesome looking.
And there's some people that don't want the LCD. They don't want it.
I get it.
But they want a bigger version of the Y60. It gives you, because the Y60, especially when it comes to like 4090, it's just not enough space. So they came out with a Y70 non-touch. That is just the Y70. It's just bigger, supports larger graphics cards. Of course, available in their different color variants. Makes sense for them completely. I mean,
I don't know why they didn't just launch this at the same time. I it probably would have stolen sales from their screen version.
Yeah, yeah. Because again, not everybody wants the screen. And obviously you're paying more for the screen as well. Yeah, so this makes more sense. It's going to support more bigger graphics cards, better cooling. So I like it overall. But that is their newest, offering. So I'm kind of wondering, and we didn't really get to see anything at CES. So it's kind of be interesting to see what Height does next for cases, right? Because this is essentially like a larger Y60. It would be kind of cool to see them go to like a mini ITX, but that's going to be kind of hard.
I mean, just seeing the products that they've released so far, like, you know, it's going to be unique.
It has to be.
Different than, like you said, a smaller version of this.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting.
It'll be unique.
What they have coming down the line. But yeah, good to see the bigger case come out. Our next set of stories are all about gaming handhelds. So.
Alrighty.
So yeah, so somebody was able to test the Asus ROG Ally versus the MSI Claw. Of course, MSI Claws, MSI's gaming handheld, and the ROG Ally did beat it, which is not necessarily surprising. I think that the AMD chip is just a better chip for the mobile market. There's a ton of handhelds being based off the AMD chip. We have a link to the actual review that has everything if you want to check it out. But yeah, I mean, I think the Claw is going to be good, but they're going all Intel. So Intel CPU, Intel GPU, where the ROG Ally is going to be is AMD based. So, so yeah, at least, again, Claw's not officially out yet, so I don't know how they got their hands on them. But
seems like we've been waiting for that forever.
It's coming out soon. But the initial tests show that the ROG Ally does outperform it. So keep that in mind. But as we always say with anything, wait until things finally come out. Somebody hacked the PlayStation Portable. So if you're not familiar with the PlayStation Portable, it is...
Well, it's PlayStation Portal.
Is that what it is?
That's what it's called. Yes, but the title, because I read the title and I was like, they screwed up, but not necessarily, because it is a PlayStation Portable like device, but it's the PlayStation Portal.
Yeah, so the PlayStation Portal is a little, almost looks like a little tablet with some controllers on the side that allows you to stream games from your PlayStation 5 to it, so you can sit on the couch, you can do whatever you want. Well, finally, after quite a while, somebody has hacked it so it can run emulators. So they were able to run emulators. They're running Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories on an emulator on it. So using the actual hardware that's on it to actually natively run a game, which I do like, because like this is a cool product that you can't take anywhere that's not, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's cool. It's very unique looking too. Like I had just heard about this product like last week, it feels like. And it was just very interesting, and it's pretty affordable for what it does. I think it's like $299 maybe.
Yeah. It's much like the, what was the NVIDIA one?
Shield.
Yeah. It's like the Shield. But yeah, it's cool to see. And I love stuff like this. Like, there's no reason to do this, but somebody has done it. So I think that's the cool part about it. So yeah, so check that out if you want to learn more. We have all links to the YouTube video and all that kind of stuff if you want to learn more. Nintendo Switch 2. We've been talking about it. We've been hearing about it. It's expected to launch Q1 of 2025, according to game studios who obviously probably are making launch games for the Switch 2. Well, do you think this is something like your kids would be into at the time when it comes out?
I mean, maybe. I mean, he plays the hell out of the Switch right now.
I think
performance improvements for like some existing games will be nice. Like,
I think too, they have to do this pretty well, because right now the Switch is decently old. You have all of these like Windows-based gaming handhelds coming out. Like, again, they're obviously much more expensive, but a lot of people are like, oh, you can find ones that are like, you know, a couple of $100. They're like, oh, I'll just go with that. So I think this has to be really big for Nintendo. Like, this has to
It came out almost 7 years ago. The Switch has been out, and it's still a very popular handheld console.
Yeah. So I think this has to be big for them. Maybe some interesting features, more online stuff too. Old Man in the Chat says, is the Switch 2 going to be backwards compatible? I've seen stories where it says it would. It kind of makes sense that it should be, but not, obviously we don't know yet. So we've been covering the Switch 2 pretty heavily on the site. So even though we're like more computer related stuff, but we have been covering it quite a lot. So we will have, as again, we get closer and closer and closer to suppose of the Q1 launch in 2020. Maybe we'll launch at CES. Actually, that'd be a horrible place for it to launch, but I mean, it's Q1.
Well, I mean, you can't launch it at E3.
Yeah, there's no E3. Right? So maybe that's where they do launch it. So we'll see.
It'd be so cool if those companies started coming to CES, because what was I looking at? Oh, I bought some old Nintendo Powers like a while ago, and there were articles in there about CES, and it was like Nintendo at CES and like showing games and stuff. And I was like, oh yeah, those companies did go there before E3 was a thing, right? And so, who knows?
Yeah, now maybe. That E3 is gone, I mean, you still have like Game Developer Conference, which is...
Yeah, GDC. Yep.
GDC is pretty big. And then you have like PAX is really big as well now too. So we'll see. I mean, this is obviously not set in stone, the story.
I would love to see like Sony and Nintendo and Microsoft showing up.
Yeah, but I think too, you know, they all kind of pulled out of E3 because they just did their own online thing. They did their own kind of thing, and I think they get to control it. Obviously, they're not paying a ton of money to be there. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, it would be cool to see that kind of stuff there. And then finally, Xbox has confirmed that holiday updates are coming for their hardware. The big thing about this story, I don't care about any other stuff because I don't play consoles, is that a gaming handheld could be in the cards, they say, which actually kind of makes sense just because of the fact that even just in the console market, like how popular was the DS or has the DS been over the past 7 years? Incredibly popular, right? Yeah. And if Microsoft's going to come and just like, you know, with all the PC handhelds coming into the fray as well. Like, this, as much as Ryan and I don't, like, we're not playing gaming handhelds. We're just not. But, like, right. the younger generation obviously is, and a lot of people who have commutes, you know, we are back to work and all that kind of stuff. Like, people do... are like, I know people that have bought an ROG Ally. Like, you said your boss sure. bought one. Like, yeah, there are yeah. people. This is a really big market. So to see Xbox maybe come out with a handheld, we don't, and it could just be a stream from your Xbox right, to like it,
the PlayStation. Yeah,
but I would love to see a actual handheld.
But we literally just saw stories about Microsoft getting out of the hardware business. You know what I mean?
I don't know how you do that, as you know, but who knows? But it would be cool to see. I think it would be cool to see. I've always been like an Xbox guy. Xbox was like some of my best gaming moments were on Xbox. Ugh, so
gross.
Halo. Yeah.
I mean, Halo, I didn't have an Xbox. I had a 360 and I have a Xbox One. And
yeah,
I had
same.
I have PlayStation and a PlayStation 3.
Well, no, I had original PlayStation and then I got Xbox and I had Xbox 360. And Xbox 360 was the last Xbox that I ever owned. But the fun times on the original Xbox and the Xbox 360, like the Halo launch, like it was good times. It was good times for sure. But yeah, some of my favorite gaming moments were on Xbox for sure. So,
all right.
So yeah, so that is the news for the week. Coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a graphics card. So I'm taking a look at the GeForce RTX 47, or it's a Gigabyte GeForce RTX 4070 Ti Super Gaming OC. So this is what the card looks like. I will have that review for you next week. And that's our first RTX 4070 Ti Super, and I'm really actually impressed with it, just in general as a graphics card.
Is that what's on the test bench back there
right now? Yes, that is. Oh, I actually did it right this time too. So yeah, that's right, it's right there. So I've been testing it. I honestly just finished testing it today, so we'll have that for you next week. And I'm taking a look at a new case that's coming out next week, so that's all I
can't say anything
say.
About it
right. Can't say much about it. We saw it at CS, but can't say much about it. So you can guess. But yeah, so we're coming to the end. We're doing our question of the week, and I came up with one that I thought was a good question to ask. So what's one piece of tech that you use on a daily basis that you've had the longest?
Mm-hmm. It's my K65 RGB Lux from Corsair.
Can you show it to us?
It's white. I mean, yeah, and it's dirty, but sure. No, it's all right.
Nice. So
and I've got like some custom keycaps on it in a couple spots. It is not going to focus. Oh my gosh.
Well, that's why you get a
Sony. You know, that's a Canon.
Yeah, but how long have you had that?
I was trying to think because I saw your question earlier in the day, and I was trying to think of how long I've had it. Probably maybe 10 years. Actually, maybe even longer than that.
That's a long time for a keyboard. And you haven't got bored of it. Like, you don't want something that feels better.
Like, I mean, it's TKL, right? As opposed to, and it's funny because, you know, it's the K65 and yours is that you just looked at is the K65. But this is a TKL size. So I've got my arrows. I've got that full set of like page up, page down, insert, delete, which I really like. It's got cherry reds.
Okay.
Which is like my favorite for gaming. I like the wrist rest. It doesn't give me any issues. I clean it out every now and then. It's no complaints.
All right. That's, I mean, for having it, like, obviously I switch out keyboards and I mean, I did have that,
the IQNX.
Yeah. The IQNX one. I've used that for quite a while. I mean, this Corsair one, I don't think it's leaving anytime soon. So I really, really like it that much. But for me, a piece of tech that I use every day that I've had for a long time is my WD MyBook Duo. It's a 20 terabyte external hard drive that's sitting behind my computer. I reviewed it all the way back in 2017. And it's, so this is how my like workflow goes. So whenever I'm like, I have a portable SSD that's like one of these. All right. And it's like, it's an editing drive. That's all I use it for. It's like 2 terabyte editing drive, right? So everything, all the content that comes out on Think Computers is edited on one of these drives, right? Over time, this gets full, obviously, because we record in 4K. That footage then goes to the MacBook Duo, which again is 20 terabytes. And then eventually I move it over to my NAS. So it's like a slow process of backup that goes to the NAS. But this has, and again, this has not only all the video footage, but it also has like just backups of like all my work, all the Think Computers related stuff is all on this. And it's a Duo drive. So you have two drives in there. So you do get some redundancy, which is nice.
But those are, if it's 20 ter, do you have it set up? I'm guessing it's two 10s in there, right?
I don't know. I didn't. You, if you open it up, you void your warranty. So I don't know.
Yeah, but you can set it up to either be like RAID 1 or RAID 0. RAID 0 is going to give you 20 terabytes, most likely. RAID 1 is going to give you 10.
I don't. No, it's, yeah. Oh, yeah. You could. I think I have it in RAID 1. I actually haven't even looked. Because it literally.
That's good. Because like if it's RAID 0, then you have no safety other than you're copying stuff over to your NAS.
Yeah, everything eventually goes over to the NAS, but I'm just like very slow in that process, right? So but yeah, this is probably the oldest thing tech related that like I use on an everyday basis. Okay. So yeah, 2017.
Yeah, I mean I was trying to think anything else that's as old, and like I've changed my mouse up, I changed headsets a couple times. Actually, you know what, my speakers are older than anything. Because I bought
this beige?
Speaker set. No, they're black. They're creatives.
It's like when you get a call, do they like, yeah, do they?
Oh, yeah. They're not as bad anymore. Okay. But okay. Yes, they used to real bad. But I bought these when I built my first system. So I've had these since 2002.
Wow. Yeah, speakers are something that typically.
And they're 4.1, you know, surround sound set. I don't use the surrounds, but I use the two, you know, left and right and the sub. Yeah,
speakers are like I've had the same speaker set for a while, not as long as that, but speakers are something that lasts a long time for the most part. Mm-hmm. And they're not something you typically replace either, because if you get decent speakers, that's all you need. I would say, like I said, my external hard drive is probably the thing that's the oldest
that I use on a daily basis. It's those two items daily basis.
I would say like my wireless charger for my phone is decently old, but not as old. It's pretty old though. But yeah, that's basically it. I'm trying to think. I always like replace stuff that's on the desk, and I'm always swapping out like mice and keyboards and stuff. So it's like, you know, and I'm not like, I can't count like my main, even though my main PC is like a year old. So it's not
that old.
Yeah. It's not that old. So that's something that I've used. Old man in the chat says his EVGA power supply is over 10 years old. That shows you the quality of EVGA power supplies. So they're some of the best.
Yeah, they're my favorite.
And it's a
G2. So yeah.
Yeah. 1300 G2. And he bought it when SLI and Crossfire were popular. Yeah. I mean, like I said, power supplies are something that, you know, there's like the EVGAs, the Seasonics are really good. Of course, I think in this test machine, I have an HX1200i from Corsair. Wonder how old that is. Hold on.
Yeah, I mean, my NAS is, that's not that old. It's probably like 2018, 2019.
So this power supply that's in this, test system, it's right there where my finger is. That's where the power supply. That's a Corsair HX1200i. I've been using that since 2015. Yeah, but I did just get a new 1300 watt power supply in that probably will be replacing it. But
it's probably got native.
Yes, it does. Yes.
High volts.
Yeah, so I use the adapters. Oh, I didn't bring this up. This is the power supply that's in there.
Corsair Link, man.
It has the first one that had the digital link. That's why they called it the Eye, because it was intelligent at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it had like you had to press a button to go into fanless mode where you could, you know, the fan would turn off during.
Like who's sticking their finger in their build to be able to press that button?
It was a thing. It was a thing, man. It was a thing. And you could view it in IQ. It was like the first one. It was the first one you could view in IQ and all that kind of
stuff. Well, because, I used to have Corsair Link.
Yeah. So it had the little, it is a micro USB that would go into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's mini USB.
Or mini USB that would go into the USB header on your motherboard, and then Link would read it and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause Link and whatever the other software was used to be separate. You used to have two apps.
Man, it's crazy to think about all that and how it's all just everything. Everybody has an app now to do all their stuff, but Corsair was one of the first to do it. So,
yeah,
that is it for the podcast, guys. Of course, we are going to be jumping over to Twitch. Ryan runs that stream, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We're playing some Apex. I'm excited to play. Like, I did play last week with this keyboard, so I had a lot of fun testing it last week, but this is a fun keyboard to game on as well. So we will be over there. Thanks everybody for coming out. It's Old Man, Mark Live, and Corey in the live chat. And of course, everybody that listens later, and we'll catch everybody next week.